Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, welcome to Top Stories, another dig into the archives of The Bugle with me, Andy Zaltzman. Another iconic episode from The Bugle past. It's May 2011, issue 152, and former world number one ranked baddie Osama bin Laden was no more. John Oliver and I, neither of whom had been fans of the rowdy Saudi in any way whatsoever, let me emphasise, delivered a heartfelt f*** eulogy.
Top story this week, ding dong, the is dead. Bada boom, boom, boom. Another bites the dust. Shot in the eye, and you're to blame. You give a bad name. This is not so much a tribute episode to bin Laden as a special eulogy to the big man. And I'm glad you enjoyed that.
Yeah, I did thoroughly enjoy it. I expect to see that in a dictionary near me within 2 years.
Andy, you ended the last Bugle by saying that after the royal wedding, the world had nothing to look forward to anymore. And while, yes, Saturday in itself was quite boring, apart from Chelsea tightening the gap on the Premiership title race, you have to admit that Sunday really delivered, what with that whole killing of the most wanted terrorist on the planet thing. That's right, Osama bin Laden, the former leader of Al-Qaeda and former living inhabitant of the planet Earth, was forced to surrender both of those titles around the time that a bullet developed a very strong attraction to his face. And he was a tall, handsome man, bin Laden, Andy, but I have to admit that I always thought that he'd have looked even better if he'd considered getting his left eyebrow pierced with a bullet. And I think I was right about that. I think his face was successfully accessorized with a piece of high-speed, pointy metal jewellery.
It's a funny old world, though, isn't it, John? Because last week, most wanted man in the world. This week, a seriously malfunctioning submarine. And fish food. So, yeah, it just goes to show. Upon a slender thread. So, you know, he's gone from, he's the leader of the world's most tedious minority interest pressure group, a man 5 times voted least cuddleable dude by Touchy Feely Monthly magazine, the man commonly known as the Rowdy Saudi, Terry the Terrorist, the Mighty Douche, the Tora Bora Law Ignorer, and the Angry Turnip. He had his clogs forcibly popped by American Special Forces. And I do wish that Barack Obama had used those words.
Yeah,
we
absolutely
have popped his clogs.
It certainly feels like a much more pleasant globe to live on this week without bin Laden living on it too. It's like when a terrible neighbour moves away and property prices in adjacent properties automatically go up. By dying, bin Laden has effectively gentrified this entire planet. To prove this, upon news of his death, the stock market went up and oil prices went down, as if collectively everyone agreed that things had just got slightly better, as if the world breathed a sigh of relief and together muttered, "Oh, good. That is good." Now, I don't know where you were when you found out, Andy. I'm guessing you were asleep. But I just finished watching 60 Minutes and was checking in with the Mets-Phillies game when it became clear that something very important was about to happen and the president was going to address the nation. And after watching him announce that America had successfully located and killed bin Laden, I started watching the news. And then I flicked through the channels a couple of hours later to see that the Mets were still playing the Phillies. It was the 14th inning, and they had resumed the game, and most of the crowd was still there. And not only were they still there, they were watching the game with complete concentration. And I've got to say, as a sports fan, I find that so impressive. Remember, this is a meaningless game at the start of May between one team which will challenge for the World Series and one that will not make the playoffs. To care about that at all is a challenge. To care about that when it's just been announced that bin Laden has been killed is incredible. The CIA's most wanted man has literally just been assassinated, and you are rooting for Raul Ibanez to get a base hit. I think my favourite reaction from all this actually came from the Mets manager after the game, because, you know, people in sports just cannot help themselves but speaking clichés, and that's never more exposed than in moments of deep, genuine significance. And in the post-game press conference, Terry Collins said this. He said, "Well, this is a good win for us, and obviously a huge win for America tonight." He should have carried on that thought. You know, I think America really answered the critics tonight. Many have said that, you know, to go on a 9-year streak of not killing bin Laden was a slump we were never going to get out of. But I, for one, had nothing but faith in us as a team, and I knew if we just kept swinging, kept focused, we'd get that hit. As for the future, who knows where that holds? I'm just concentrating on a home series against the Giants next week. Thank you. No questions.
I don't know as well that Al Qaeda had a press conference in which they said, "Well, there's a lot of positives we can take away from this. Obviously, we're disappointed to lose, Ozzy, but we'd like to see it more as an opportunity for someone else to step up to the plate and deliver."
Of course, the best place to have heard the news would undoubtedly have been Tampa, Florida, in the middle of the crowd of a live WWE wrestling event. How do I know this? That's a fair question. Because I saw a clip on YouTube of a shirtless John Cena addressing the Tampa crowd to deliver the news at the end of a bout, saying, "I'm extremely proud after 10 months of being your WWE champion. I walk out every night with hustle, loyalty and respect on my sleeve." It's worth pointing out that at that point, he was sleeveless. He went on to say,
"I'm not the names of his dogs tattooed onto his arm."
No. The president has just announced, he went on to say, that we have caught and compromised to a permanent end Osama bin Laden. Andy, that is magnificent rhetoric from the four-time tag team champion, inventor of the twisting belly-to-belly suplex, and self-styled doctor of thugonomics. In fact, all of those things are true. Right. In fact, if I'm honest, I prefer what John Cena said to the president's speech. "Caught and compromised to a permanent end." That is linguistically sensational. In fact, that phrase is not all that the president should have borrowed. I think he should also have walked into the East Room of the White House and said, "I walk out every night with hustle, loyalty and respect on my sleeve." I think he should also have done that shirtless in a pair of cut-off jeans holding a wide microphone before leaving to rock music and fireworks. I don't think anyone would have begrudged him that.
But Obama, of course, had been watching nervously in the White House on Skype, I think, supporting his troops by firing an imaginary pistol at his computer screen and shouting, "Kapow, kapow," as the troops went in, and then announced the action to the watching world, creditably, without using words like, "We got him, mission accomplished," or "bag him and tag him," which is not necessarily something his predecessor could have been entrusted with. He didn't even hold two fingers to his mouth and pretend to blow gun smoke away from them before reholstering his fingers and winking at the camera, which some might have seen as an opportunity missed. And of course, you know, there's been some newspaper reaction. Obviously, quite excited. Some of the headlines here, this Al Qaeda, here's one with a fake picture of bin Laden's head, headlined "Osama." Also, this article looking at the damage to Al Qaeda caused by the attack under the headline "Ain't No Cure for the Osama Dying Blues." And this one here, man 54 dies. Doesn't really give the full story.
But it deals with facts, yeah. Andy.
And also,
no, is that not what you want from print journalism?
Another tabloid one, death in his vest. A little play on Death of the West. Claiming Bin Laden been pinged out whilst wearing a sleeveless T-shirt. Revealing an unexpected tattoo of Mae West leaning over a bucket of soapy water. Which I guess the subtext would be, America is the great Satan. I'm guessing. So but it was a kind of personal success for Obama. It seems to be how it's been received. The operation, codenamed variously, Operation Shave That Beard, Operation F*** That Shit, Operation... Reese Witherspoon. Not sure how I got that name. I think I'll have to ask General Petraeus about that one. So more details are trickling out as the story shifts from one day to the next. It does seem now that they found Bin Laden with a sock on each hand, putting on a sock puppet production of Dirty Dancing for his young relatives in order to inculcate in them a lifelong hatred of Western consumerism. When the SEALs came in, he untangled Baby and Johnny and said in his characteristic monotone drawl, "Did someone order a takeaway and not tell me about it?" They also found in his children's playroom blackboards with the words, "George W. Bush is a premium-grade wiener," written over and over again. And another report suggesting that Bin Laden's last words were, "Is that a gun in your pocket, or are you just pleased to see me?"
To which I'm guessing the Navy SEAL said, "It's kind of both." Obviously, as you mentioned, newspapers around the world reacted the next day by plastering Bin Laden as the lead story all over their front page. So credit has to go, as Andy and my friend Danny Boy said to us, to the Daily Express Online, who stuck with their gut, Andy, and they ran the Bin Laden story second, behind the headline about Prince William and Kate Middleton foregoing a prenup. I mean, wow. Listen, you've just got to give it to them, Andy. It's as simple as that. You have to really, really care about the royal wedding to lead with that 2 days after the wedding happened over the fact that Bin Laden was literally just shot in the head. That is a royal wedding super fan right there.
Well, maybe the two are linked, John. I mean, it seems clear that the two are linked because on Saturday night, Prince William and Princess Kate were whinging about not receiving a wedding present from the White House, and then they received a card on Monday morning saying, "Happy wedding, Harrods had sold out of dinner plates, so we killed Bin Laden instead for you."
I wonder if that's where Bin Laden's body actually is. It's like when you have a cat and it kills a bird and leaves it outside your bedroom door as a kind of thank you. I wonder if they woke up in the next morning to see the corpse of Bin Laden lying in front of them. Oh, that's lovely. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, it takes me back to the morning after my wedding. let's not delve into that.
That was another top story. Thank you for listening. Discover more from the Bugle Empire at thebuglepodcast.com.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.